My spirit man is open.
My spirit man is open.
I stir myself.
To receive from the Word.
I will receive. Revelation knowledge.
By the Spirit of God.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You can be seated. Well, we've been studying invoking God's blessing. Everybody say that. Invoking God's blessing. Say it again. Invoking God's blessing. This morning I gave you the definition of the word invoke. You may want to review your notes, or if you've not started notes, I encourage you to do that. The word invoke means, number one, to call forth or to cause. So when we talk about invoking God's blessing, we're speaking of calling forth, causing God's blessings to be activated in our life. Number two, it means to put into use. So when I'm teaching you on invoking God's blessing, I'm showing you specifically how to put God's blessing into use in your life. And then tonight specifically, we're going to be talking about invoking God's blessing in other people's lives. Number three, the word invoke means to call on for a blessing, help, inspiration, and support. All right, let's look at verse 1 here. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Everybody say that. And I will bless thee. Now, I told you this morning that I see in these verses the divine pattern of blessing. There are two phases to the divine pattern of blessing. The first one is God wants you to be blessed. That's where it starts. You have to have it to give it. You've got to have the blessing of God in order to invoke it on anyone else's life. So the starting point is learning how to invoke God's blessing into your life. And we went through that. I gave you the handle on that this morning. And what are you going to do now? Every day for the next 30 days, you purposed, what are you going to do? Huh? Invoke the blessings, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, and Galatians 3, 13 and 14. You're going to pray those, speak those. Remember, like Ezekiel, he spoke. We went through that. He spoke to those bones. You're going to cause the blessings of God. You're going to prophesy the blessings of God into your life. That's going to activate them and cause them to flow forth into your existence. But look at the rest of this verse. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. So there's phase number two. Not only will you be blessed, you are going to be a blessing unto others. Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now that's exactly what Martha was referring to. We are the instruments of God. The angels are not. The Holy Spirit can't do it without you. Did you hear what I said? Me, we are the instrument. We are to be the instrument, the applicator of the blessings of God to the whole world. And as you begin to walk in what I'm talking about, if you get hold of this, it will revolutionize your life. You'll walk with zip and pep in your step. You better write that down. Don't forget that. And you will go forth, Jesus said, what? Rivers of living water coming forth from you? Now that's just not, you know, talk. I mean, I believe if we have little spiritual goggles, those of us who know how to invoke the blessings of God, glory to God, we'd say, what's that coming out of Pam? Look at that. Just, oh man, rivers. And every time she walks, people get around her and they go, man, what's that all over me? I just feel blessings on me. Now they may take their umbrella once in a while and pop it out there. They don't like getting wet, you know, but you just swing around behind them and get them. Hallelujah. Blessings flowing out. The phase two. Now let's go to number 6. And I know we're looking at a couple of passages here we looked at this morning, but this is important for you to see in light of phase number 2, which is thou shalt be a blessing. Blessing other people. Number 6, and let's begin with verse 22. Now, we said just because God promised the blessing, that's not good enough. Just because the blessings are ours through Jesus Christ, all blessings are laid up for us in heavenly places, they're ours, that's not good enough just to know that knowledge. I said the second main thing you need to know is that it requires the invocation of the blessing. It requires you to call the blessing forth, to speak it, to prophesy it into your life. That activates the blessing of God. It's the same way for other people. It's the same principle as you have invoked the blessings upon your life. I showed you how to do that. It's the same principle for other people. It's so important that you understand this idea of blessing others. It'll keep churches from splitting. It'll keep families from breaking up. It'll keep you from having discord and frustration on your job if you'll learn to become blessing conscious. If you'll learn to become blessing oriented. I tell you, this will save situations, what I'm talking about. All right, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron. Now he's talking, he says, now go tell the priests. And I'm telling you, in the New Testament, we are kings and priests unto God. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto him, unto them. In other words, here's how you're to do it. Here's how you're to put it on. Here's what you're to say. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Now I'm going to spend a little time right here. This is what you are to do toward other people. It says, the Lord bless thee. You need to be a blessing unto other people. Now, you know, Psalm 62, David said, oh, with their lips they bless, but inwardly in their hearts they curse. You know, I find in the body of Christ, whenever there's problems in a church, it's because the people are not invoking God's blessings among themselves. They are invoking curses. Now, they won't say that. You know, that sounds too terrible. They'll call it something else. We're just repeating the truth. Uh-huh. Well, what is the truth? The truth is who you are in Christ, not how it may appear. Whenever there are people that are causing problems in a church, it's because they're not invoking God's blessing among themselves. So, if you're not saying something that is a blessing, don't say it. It says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Now, that phrase, keep thee, means protect thee, preserve thee. That's the attitude you ought to have, even toward your enemy. And don't tell me you don't have any enemies. We need to teach you not to lie. Don't tell me you don't have any enemies. People that don't like you, that mistreat you, they're your enemies. Now you say, well, I don't like to think of them in terms of enemies, but they're against you. Bless them. You say, bless you. The Lord keep you. Look what it says. The Lord make His face shine upon thee. Man, when you start praying for God's face to shine upon somebody, do you realize what you're doing? I mean, you're praying the same prayer that Moses prayed. He said, let me see your glory. And God said, well, you can't see my face. I'll just let you see my rearward parts. And man, you know what Moses looked like when he came down from the mountain. I mean, he was glowing. So when you're saying the Lord's face shine upon thee, you're saying, I want you to get a revelation of who God is. I want you to see God so that you're glowing with God's radiance and countenance. You'll never be the same. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. What do what you say, what you are saying to other people, are you saying, the Lord be gracious unto thee? Or are you saying something like, well, boy, the Lord really needs to rake them over the coal. They need some correction. Hallelujah. I believe I've been called to apply it. Now, I'm not saying there's not times we don't correct people, but I think all too often we just, you know, we like to think we're like Jesus and we got a whip and we're going to run through the temple. Huh? No. He says, be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Verse 27. Now, I've told you to circle and underline verse 27 because this is the important one. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel and I will bless them. The New American says it this way, so they shall invoke My name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. As you speak it, as you prophesy it, as you proclaim it unto these people that are surrounding you, God's blessing is activated. It comes into their life. Now, let's go to Proverbs 11 and start looking at some new material here. Proverbs 11. I wonder if you could turn my mic down just a tad. Proverbs 11. And let's look at verse 10. Proverbs 11, and we'll begin with verse 10. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perisheth, there is shouting. Now you look at verse 11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Do you believe Cincinnati's going to be exalted? Hallelujah. Amen. Do you believe this little thing that's on your bumper sticker down here somewhere? Jesus is Lord over Cincinnati? Then you better get hold of this idea of the blessing and invoking the blessing of God in your life and on other people's lives. Look what it says, verse 11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. I mean, the mouth of the wicked goes forth. They're not speaking the blessings of God. They're speaking negative things. They're speaking curses instead of the blessings on people. And it just causes a city, you see, to be overthrown. Verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A tell-bearer revealeth secrets. You know, if you're not speaking blessings on people, you're a tell-bearer. You're a gossiper. That's not going to encourage the kingdom of God at all. Amen? How many of you just love for people to talk about you? Let me see your hand. We're going to pray for you after this meeting if you raise your hand. You wake up. Verse 13. A tale-bearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Praise God. If you just can't say a blessing, just don't say anything. I mean, I tell you, that's a principle I've learned. And I think I've learned it sometimes the hard way. Brother, could you turn my mic up a little bit? I think you turned me totally off there. All right, let's go to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. We're talking about invoking God's blessing upon people. And the Word says when the righteous are blessed and they're walking that way, the city is going to be exalted. It's going to be blessed because you are the instrument of blessing. As you get it, you can give it. And you give it by speaking it. Genesis 49, and we'll look at verse 1. Now, if you're taking notes, you write this down. What you say to others can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. What you say to others, we mentioned that in relationship to yourself this morning, but what you say to others can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. You see, blessing runs in the same vein as prophecy. You write that down. Blessing runs in the same vein as prophecy. If you speak a blessing on somebody, you are actually prophesying unto them. On the other hand, if you speak a curse on someone, what are you doing? You're prophesying a curse on them. And you start thinking about what you say in those terms, it'll change you, and it'll start helping you understand why a lot of churches go through splits and break up. It's because people are running around prophesying curses instead of blessing. And it helps you understand why families break up. Wife's always on the phone talking to so-and-so. Oh, I'm being mistreated. Y'all pray for me. She's sitting there watching those soap operas as the stomach turns and all Days of Our Lives and Wives and all that stuff. Sitting there, you know, that's me. Oh, that's me. Oh, that's me. See it. She's prophesying. Seeing it. No blessing at all. All right, look at verse 1. Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. Now, if you read down there, he begins prophesying over each one of the sons. I mean, he is speaking things to come. He's telling them what's going to happen. But you know how that's described later? Go with me to verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is that their father spake unto them. And what? It doesn't say prophesied. It says what? Do you see what I'm talking about? That blessing runs in the same vein as prophecy. He is prophesying over these men, and then it turns around and says that's what he did when he blessed them. Everyone, according to his blessing, he blessed them. So what am I saying unto you? What you say unto people is a prophecy, and it can be a self-fulfilling thing. I want to give you an example. It's a true story. The names have not been changed to protect the innocent. Brother Bobby Corsi, a dear friend of mine, in Vidalia, Georgia, the booming metropolis of 10,000 people, he felt called of God while I lived there. Bobby stuttered. He wanted to preach the Word and be a teacher of the Word. Bobby was, I don't know, 18 or so years old. Nobody ever taught Bobby how to drive. Bobby, you know, worked in the fields picking peas and beans. I'm telling you the truth. I caught hold of the idea that Bobby was called. I knew it. I could tell it in him. I said, Bobby, I believe you got a call on your life. I was blessing him with my mouth. I was speaking the blessing upon him. I said, Bobby, I think you've got a call on your life. You do? Kind of, couldn't even look at you now. You do? Yeah, I believe that. I believe God wants you to go to Rhema. Bible Training Center. I don't know. I don't know how I could get the money to go out there. My family, you know, split up. We don't have much money. I said, God will do it. God will get the money and you'll go out there. Well, I didn't make too good grades in high school. Just barely got out. I don't know how to drive. I said, God will show you how to drive. God will give you a car. I was speaking the blessing upon him. Bobby started getting hold of it. He started believing it himself. I'm telling you, when you start speaking the prophecy and the blessing upon people, they start believing it themselves. A self-fulfilling prophecy. Before long, he started talking like this. Well, I think I'm going to Rhema. Started off that way, I think. I'm going to Rhema. I think I'm called. I said, I know you're called. You're going to go to Rhema. You're going to be trained and you're going to become a minister. I said, God's going to help your speech too. I didn't say that in front of people to embarrass him, you know. But I said, God's going to help your speech too. Well, didn't have any money. At that time, I was running a coffee house on the strip, you know, kind of a street-type ministry. So I said, we're going to have a Bobby Corsi night, praise God. I said, we're going to raise money for Bobby. And I sent out my flyers and all my invitations. I said, come. Don't come if you don't bring money. Glory to God, I can receive an offering when it's not for myself. I can be bold about it. I was at the door. They walk in the door. Put it out at them. I don't want any of that loud change either. Give me some of that quiet stuff. Huh? I don't want a loud offering. I want one of these quiet unto the Lord types. Put it in there. Somebody put them in, you know, and I'd say, you need to go back and get some from your mama. That's not enough. We raised a little bit there. Had a little cake for him and everything like that. I don't know. We raised something like that night, just several hundred dollars. I don't know what it was. And I helped him. We had him over to dinner one night, Martha and I. We figured out a budget. I mean, we put down what it would take just to get out there. He had to have a car to get out there. And we put what it would have to have for an apartment. And, you know, the initial light bills. Well, we're going to skip a phone. You don't need a phone. I mean, we were cutting this thing down to the bone, you know, to get him out there. And he was looking at it and said, man, I don't know. I don't know. I said, God can do it. God will do it. By this time, boy, his faith was growing. He was standing up in church. I'm going to Rhema. Now, he was prophesying it, you know. Said, I'm going to Rhema. Isn't that right, Jason? Look over at me. That's right, bro. You're going to Rhema. And God's going to raise the money. Isn't that right, Jason? God's going to raise the money. And I'm going to learn how to drive. Isn't that right, Jason? That's right. You're going to learn how to drive. See, prophesying, I was being a blessing unto him and saying, instead of saying something like, well, God can't use you. I tell you, every one of us have had people tell us something like that. Your business ain't going to succeed. I tell you, that's just like what it says. That's like pouring salt in a wound. People don't need that. You don't need that. Don't say that about people. Even if you think somebody's going to fail, don't say it. Because you're releasing it. You're prophesying it. There's been guys that I've looked at and I just didn't think they could preach. But I'm not going to tell them that. I'm not going to tell somebody else that. I'd be releasing. I'd be putting out a self-fulfilling prophecy. So we figured out the budget, you know, for the apartment, the different things like that. And I mean, I figured in we could afford, I think we gave it $250 for a car. Hallelujah. Got to have faith for that. Amen. I mean, you know, the other things were more important, like he had to have his initial tuition you got to pay when you get out there, and you got to get books, and he had to have some clothes, and have to have that apartment, and all this stuff. And so, you should have seen some of the things we looked at, some of the cars for $200-something. I remember we got in one once. He didn't know how to drive, so I had to go with him. We got in one and sat in, and the seat, the front seat, wasn't bolted. And so when we sat in there, we went back. I said, I don't believe this is the one. Holly, I didn't have much, you know, you don't have to have discerning of spirits for that. I just said, I don't discern that this is the one, brother. Something doesn't settle within me about this thing. And so finally we heard George and Tammy told us about a car that was available, I think it was for $200. He said, you got to see this car for $200. So Bobby and I, boy, we jumped in the car, in my car, and we went over there. I couldn't believe. I thought, is that it? Or maybe somebody else is out driving it. There was a Chrysler sitting there, paint job, well, you know, take it or leave it, brand new tires on it, the air conditioner worked on it, the radio worked on it. I mean, the thing, you know, just sounded good. We took it for a spin, and, you know, I'm no mechanic. I just had to go by the Holy Ghost, you know. I said, I believe this is it. Bobby went in there. Hand was shaking. He had never written out a big check like that for $200. He wrote out a check for that. We gave it to the guy. We drove it off. He didn't know how to drive, though. So they're on the back roads of Vidalia and Lyons, Georgia. I was teaching Bobby how to drive. We'd go down the road. See, I was speaking. I was prophesying the blessing in him. You can make it. God's going to do it. It will happen in your life. And this was causing something to be built within him. An image, a self-fulfilling guidance system was being built within him. And so, You know, I'd pick out a spot in the road, kind of an oily spot or a limb laying next to the road, and I'd say, now pretend like that's a stop sign and bring the car to a decent stop as we approach that. You know, he had some of those, you know, put us on our head, and then I'd say, go ahead, stop, Bobby. Mm-hmm, stop, Bobby. Pretend like there's somebody. We just ran over him. Hallelujah. You know, I have to teach you how to stop this thing now. And so we were practicing all. I said, now don't take your test until I give you the okay. I said, you're not ready. Don't take your test till I give you the driving test, till I give you the okay. The day came, and Bobby knocked on my door, and he said, I took the test. I said, Bobby, I said, you took the test. I said, I told you not to take the test. You weren't ready for the test. Tell me what happened. He said, well, I got there, and I flunked. He said, I passed the written part, but the guy was wanting me to do one of these back-end parallel parking type things, and he said, I just didn't do it, and the guy told me I flunked. I said, man, and you know, you have to wait so many days, and I mean, it was down to the deadline. He was having to go out to Rhema. I said, man, what'd you do that for? He said, but there's good news. I said, there's good news? He said, yeah. He said, after the guy told me I flunked, the guy told me that was his first day on the job, and that he told his wife when he left the house, I'm going to pass the first student I have, even if the guy fails, and Bobby passed. Hallelujah. Well, go ahead and give the Lord a hand. I'm talking about self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm talking about speaking the blessings of God on the people that you come in contact with. Now, he was dangerous for a while, you know. And I had to, you know, speak, the Lord preserve thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to look out for thee. But it was coming to pass in his life. I want to tell you something. Bobby stopped and saw Martha and I a couple of weeks ago. He graduated from Rhema with honors, and he's preparing to be a missionary, praise God. And he talks like this, and he can speak the word of God without stuttering. Hallelujah. Why? Because somebody believed in him. Somebody spoke the blessings on him. You mean to tell me you think you had something with that? That's exactly what I'm telling you. I had something to do with it. And you can have something to do with the people in your life. Especially the people that seem impossible. God loves to take those kind of people and bless them. He just gets a kick out of taking weak people and making them strong. That's just God. He just wonder who's weak today. I'm going to bless them and make them strong. Now, you write this down. Invoking God's blessing on others is a major force to change and shape their lives. Invoking God's blessing on others is a major force to change and shape their lives. Let's go to Genesis 24, and we're going to fly right now through several references and see this in operation. People invoking blessings on other people. Genesis 24, and let's begin with verse 59. You remember Abraham, he sent out his servants, you know, to find a wife for his son. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister. Remember, the servant found Rebekah by the well and so forth. And they, that's her family, sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they what? What'd they do to her? They blessed Rebekah and said unto her, notice, they applied it. They invoked the blessing on her. Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Don't you think we ought to send people off like that? Don't you think people need that in their life when they're made? This was a major turning point in that girl's life. I mean, she was leaving home. They didn't say, well, if it doesn't work out, come on home. What a blessing. Huh? You had people tell you that? Man, when I launched out in this ministry, people told me, if it doesn't work out, come on back. I said, I'm not coming back. Don't be looking for me. It's going to work out. I said, don't go to Venezuela like that and wear your white robe. See, God told me to wear a white robe. It's a whole other story. That white robe saved my life. Put on jeans. Don't wear a robe. I said, forget it. God told me to wear a white robe. I'm wearing a white robe. That white robe opened numerous doors and saved my life. People were saved. Why? Because there was a tradition which I did not know about before I left in the red district which I ministered in the Caracas, Venezuela, that they don't harm what they call a holy man who wears a white robe. Now, I didn't know that, but God did. I didn't need somebody at the gate, you know, saying, if it doesn't work out, just come on home. I needed the blessing, glory to God. Verse 61, and Rebekah arose. I'll tell you what, when you speak blessings on people, they'll arise, praise God. Rebekah arose and her damsels and they that rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Go to Joshua 14. Joshua 14, and let's look at verse 13 together. Another time where blessing was instrumental at a critical point in someone's life. You remember Caleb? You remember what he wanted on his 85th birthday? He said, "Give me the mountain with giants." Glory to God. We need some people like that around here. Which one do you want? I want the one with the mean guys on it. Huh? Well, now, brother, you're 85. If it doesn't work out, you come on home. All right, look what it says in verse 13. And Joshua, what? He did what? Say it. Say it with your mouth. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. And he went and he conquered those giants and he took it because his friend blessed him. You mean to tell me that you think something, you know, was involved in that blessing that helped him? Yeah. He had faith before he went there. He wouldn't have asked for it. But I tell you, put something in you when somebody says, "I believe in you. I bless you. It's going to work. Send their heads back to me. I'd like to see what those giants look like." Hallelujah. Don't take Cincinnati. Well, if it doesn't work out, come on home. I don't believe that. I believe you need to be prophesying. Lord of God, I might buy me one of these things. Jesus is Lord. That's a prophecy, a blessing upon the city. You need to have it in your heart, too. All right? Go to 1 Samuel 2. Let's look at what another blessing did. 1 Samuel 2, and we'll begin with verse 20. You remember a woman named Hannah? Remember she had a son? She wanted more. Verse 20, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." See, she had given Samuel, and they went unto their home. Look at verse 20. And Eli what? Say it. Blessed. Say the word. He what?
Blessed.
Now, do you think that had power? Do you think that's just kind of some little, you know, nice little religious thing? Or do you think something was activated and invoked when he did that? Look at verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. I want to tell you, there was something released when he said, "I bless you. I bless your seed." That's why it's so important that you bless yourself, and in turn, you bless other people. It'll put them over instead of putting them under. Are you getting hold of this? Are you seeing the supernatural power that's available in the blessing? In the blessing. It's so important for a church. So important for any minister. So important for your business. It's so important for your home to speak the blessing. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And you'll remember this. I think Jesus just was, you know, had some spare time on his hands one day and said, "Well, I don't know what to do. So maybe we just better sit around and do something here." Verse 16. Mark 10 verse 16. And he took them, the children, up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and what? Do you think their lives were altered by that? Do you think when Jesus speaks a blessing on somebody, it makes a difference?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, we're to be like Jesus. We're to put our hands on people. We're to touch people and bless them. Hebrews 11. You getting the drift of the Bible pattern here? Hebrews 11. It'll revolutionize your life to get in the stream of blessing. Hebrews 11, verse 20. It says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning what?" Say it. Concerning what? I'm telling you that blessing runs in the same vein as prophecy. What you say in the people, what you bless them with, can alter the course of their life. There's power in it. It's not just that it's a nice thing to do as Christians. Well, Christians are supposed to bless people. That's just the way we're supposed to be. No, it's because you're releasing power, you're releasing direction, you're releasing the blessing of God in their life to guide them in the way that the Lord has for them. Now, I want to talk with you right here at the close about the power of invoking God's blessing coupled with the principle of reciprocity. Are you hearing me? The power of invoking God's blessing coupled with the principle of reciprocity. In other words, it's not merely important that you're influencing their life, but by reciprocity, in other words, by return, as you put whatever you do on them, it's what? It's going to come back unto you. So you see, this is getting in this cycle. There's a cycle of blessing. You stand for your own blessing. You bless and you receive your own blessing. You bless and you receive your own blessing. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about your attitude, the way that you come across to people. I'll give you a little example here before. In fact, you can be turning 1 Peter chapter 3. You can be finding it while I tell you this little example. 1 Peter chapter 3. Before I went into this ministry, I worked for a time in a hospital. One of my degrees in school was a nursing degree, and I specialized in the surgery unit of a hospital and worked as an assistant in the surgery suites. And there was this one orderly that hated me. I'm telling you the truth. He hated me. He was a homosexual, and I knew it, and he knew, you know, in his locker and all the other guys' lockers were different pictures, which were not anything to speak of, and I'd open mine up, and it would say, smile, God loves you, you know, and they'd be around reading their little magazines, and glory to God, I'd come in there, and I'd pop my little magazine open, hallelujah. That just sent conviction all over them, just to sit there. I mean, you know, why should they be mad at me? They're reading their little things, glory to God, I just read over here mine. Just having it open made them feel bad. Boy, he hated me. He told me, he said, I hate you. He told me numerous times. Now I'm telling you what, that started getting under my skin. I said, you hate me, huh? Why, you little pervert, you know, you just... Hey, come on now, how do you think? Don't act spiritual on me. Huh? I'll slap you from one side of the room to the other, you touch me. Huh? Give me one of those scalpels. Come on now. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, implied. He told me he hated me regularly. He had it down. He was prophesying it, you see. And I started blessing him. Every time I saw him, I said, Danny, God loves you. God, quit off of that garbage. I don't want to hear you preaching. You're going to end up being a preacher. Well, he was right on that. Hallelujah. And I never, you know, got on him about his sin. I mean, he told me more about it than I ever told him about it. I just blessed him. Guess whose name I just happened to draw at Christmas? Everybody in the whole, you know, was drawing names I've had. Guess who's I got? Brother Danny. And, you know, I said, I'm going to give him a Bible. God said, you going to give him a Bible? He said, why don't you give him something he'd like? I said, but he needs a Bible. He said, well, then buy him a nice Bible and buy him another present. Well, they'd set a $5 limit on the thing. The Lord said, you just bless him. I got him, he liked, you know, jewelry. I got him a real nice men's bracelet. Wasn't solid gold, looked like gold, you know. But it was a nice men's bracelet, and I got him a nice Bible and wrapped it up real nice. And everybody else was giving really dumb stuff like deodorant, you know, to each other, jokes, you know, and things like that, mouthwash, you know, and little nasty things written in there. And I gave him this present. Of course, we were all sitting in the room, and he thought it was just going to be a joke. And he opened it up. He had the best present of them all. And, man, he just about choked up. And everybody went, wow, Danny, look at that. I was blessing him. And I want to tell you something. As we would be in the halls, and he would just be pouring out this vulgarity on me. I mean, he just would curse me, literally, up and down in the halls in front of the doctors and the other workers in the area. And I'd just say, Danny, I said, I love you anyway. God loves you. I said, you're going to mount to something. I was blessing him. I was putting a self-fulfilling prophecy in him. I want to tell you, God gave me favor in the eyes of the other people. Because after a while, when they saw I didn't strike back, that I didn't put him down, when I had the right to, now you understand, I had a right to according to natural law, but I just blessed him, the people saw that, I began to be promoted in my position. They began to train me as the head of the orthopedic suite. They had one room where they did orthopedic surgery, and I just like, you know, all those instruments and hammering on things and stuff like that. And so they said, we're going to make you the head over this. They started training me that way. I found favor. Now, before I left that place, Danny wasn't saved. But I'm telling you, he'll never forget Jason Peoples. Because Jason blessed him. And what I'm saying, there's a reciprocity principle tied in with this thing of invoking the blessing of God on other people. It came back unto me. I received favor in the eyes of man. Didn't it say Jesus grew in favor with God and what? And with man. I begin to rise in favor. Now let's look at this verse and you'll see this clear. 1 Peter 3 and let's look at verse 8. 1 Peter 3. Let's see, maybe it's 2 Peter. Let me check this out. 1 Peter... Yeah, okay, I was in the wrong chapter. 1 Peter 3, and let's look at verse 8. It says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. And that's what I'm talking about. Or railing for railing, but contrawise what?
Blessing.
Say it.
Blessing.
Knowing that you are thereunto called, that who should inherit a blessing? You see that? As you render blessing for curses, what do you receive?
Blessing.
There it is. The principle of reciprocity tied in with invoking the blessing of God on other people. Look at verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrawise blessing. In other words, you bless those that curse you. You bless other people knowing. You see, you know this. This is a sure principle. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. There is something tied in with you blessing other people and you receiving blessing. And listen. There's something tied in with you cursing other people. You'll be cursed. I studied through the whole story of Balaam while we were coming up here. Martha was walking me through it while I was driving. And that's a whole other teaching. I don't have time to get into it. But you remember, they tried to get Balaam to curse Israel. And, you know, they would offer him money and things. And they'd take him up here and they'd say, curse Israel. And he'd say, well, I can't. God's blessed him. They'd say, well, maybe a change of location will help. So they bring him over to this mountain. They say, now, curse him. And he, you know, he's really wanting this money, you see. And he's trying to get this curse worked up. And God says, no, I've blessed him. They said, well, come on over here. Maybe he'll change his mind when he's over here. But did you know he figured out a way that they would be cursed? Do you remember that story? See, God wouldn't curse him. But he finally told him the secret of cursing. There are evil secrets. There are secrets to Satan's kingdom, just like there are to God's. He told him one of the secrets. He said, if you'll send down your beautiful women and cause the men of Israel to live in fornication, a curse will come upon them. That happened. But you know what he had sown? He had sown a what? A curse. And it says that Balaam was murdered. He was later killed by the children of Israel in war. He reaped what he sowed. The principle of reciprocity was tied into his invocation of a curse upon them. I want to tell you another story about a minister's attitude that I heard about towards Oral Roberts. You know, Oral Roberts, he's famous for getting the big stars on his show. He used to do that more so, you know, than he is now. But he'd have these stars on his show. This one minister said he turned on the TV one night and he saw this star, you know, supposedly giving his testimony for Jesus. He says, man, that guy, he's no servant of Jesus Christ. I've seen him on all kind of movies. And he said, I can't believe Oral Roberts. And he went over and flipped off that thing and said, Oral Roberts, a man of God. See, he had been praying for his brother-in-law to be saved, but his brother-in-law wasn't saved. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you're cursing my man. You're cursing my man. And this minister said he went into his room, got on his knees, and he said, Father, forgive me. He said, I'm not responsible for old Robert's life. You are. He said, I believe he's a man of God. I bless him right now. Do you know that out of his own mouth, this minister's own mouth, he said it was within a few days that his brother-in-law that he had been praying for was saved. I'm telling you, there's some type of mystical, spiritual connection between the things we desire and the blessing or the cursing that we speak. And you begin to put this thing in a corporate matter, and you can see real quick how people start cursing and speaking evil of one another in a body, how, man, the thing just starts going like fireworks, and it'll split a group up, split a family up. I believe I'm speaking something to this body. I believe that I've been sent here to prevent you from going down that road, praise God. I don't believe you're headed on that, but you don't need to be headed on that. You need to learn to speak the blessing of God among yourselves. Amen. And those people that aren't here tonight, just show them. Just show them by blessing them. Amen? And they'll get the drift. Another illustration, which is a true story. A minister friend that I heard give a testimony said that he had a hatred and a bitterness, though he did not call it that at the time, but later he would say it was a hatred and a bitterness toward a larger church in town. His church was struggling. He was trying to get it to grow. And he said on the way to his church, there was no other way to get to his church, he had to go right by this gigantic monstrosity of a church that was, you know, not a full gospel church, but every Sunday the cars were just packed out. And he said that there was a stoplight right there, and the stoplight would catch him, and he'd have to sit there. Hallelujah. Waiting for it to turn green. Come on. And there's this gigantic church of people just going in and out. And they were experiencing revival. People were getting saved in this church. And he said he didn't even want to look at it. He said he refused for a time to even look that way and acknowledge it was there. He had curses in his heart. He had an attitude of cursing, not blessing. And he said it got so bad that one Sunday he felt the side of his face heat up. It was affecting his body. And he finally, you know, realized what was happening. And he got on his knees and he started regularly fasting and praying for that church each week. His church exploded. And through a divine coincidence, he met the pastor of this gigantic church. They became best friends and started worshiping God. And that guy started praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm telling you, there's a connection. His church would not grow until he got into the stream of the blessing. There's a reciprocity principle in this idea of invoking the blessing, speaking, prophesying the blessing upon other people. You can change the course of their lives. You can cause a self-fulfilling guidance system to be built in. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. This thing is so profound, it's so extensive, there's no way that we're going to be able to cover it all. But I hope that this will spark something in you to do some studying and changing in your life. The blessing is so extensive, when we take communion, we are taking a communion of blessing. Did you realize that? When you receive the cup and the bread of the Lord, you're receiving a blessing. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of what? Say it. The cup of what? Did you realize that was in there? Did you realize that when you drink, you're drinking the blessing. You're invoking the blessing of God on you so that you can go out and bless others. He says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Who is the body of Christ? We are the body of Christ. When we drink the blessing, we are to drink the blessing and spread that blessing among ourselves. We are to invoke the blessing of God upon the members of the body of Christ. For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we all are partakers of that one bread. Chapter 11, verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, the cup of what?
Blessing.
The cup of what?
Blessing.
Unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. I'm telling you to examine yourself. Examine your life. Are you walking in the blessing? Are you invoking the blessing of God on other people's life? And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The cup of what?
Blessing.
Verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or cursing to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Let me tell you something. The reason some people die prematurely is because they have gotten into the stream of cursing. The reason some people are sick constantly and always under is because they're not invoking the blessing of God on other people's life. They're not invoking the blessing of God on their own life. They're going around and they're speaking curses. Now, they may not realize what they're doing. They're speaking negatively. They're gossipers. They're tale-bearing. They're spreading rumors. And it's coming back on them by the principle of reciprocity. And they're sick and they're going to die early. That's what the Bible says. Does the Bible say that?
Yeah.
So that's why some of you are like that. James 3, and then we'll be through. James 3, and you know this. Maybe you'll see it in a whole new light. James 3, and let's look at verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. That's in your own power. Praise God, that's why we pray in the Holy Spirit. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. I'm telling you, when you speak curses, you are putting poison out. Verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude or image of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. What I'm saying unto you is that you need to learn the divine pattern of blessing. You need to learn to invoke God's blessing upon yourself and walk in the blessing of Deuteronomy 28. And then, don't stop there, because if you do, that principle of reciprocity will cut it off. You won't receive it. You need to go forth and bless and speak the blessings of God. Believe in people. Tell them you believe in them. Speak the good things of God on them. It'll change your life. Now, the workshop we're going to do this evening, I want you to go back to number 6. I told you that this morning we did a workshop. And then tonight we're doing a workshop. Number 6, verse 22 through 27 is the blessing. It says, Verse 22, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. The workshop that we're going to do tonight, I want you to find two people, not at the same time. You go to one, then you go to the other. Preferably not people of your own family. You go to one person, you speak this blessing right here. I want you to speak it on them. I want you to amplify on it a little bit. Speak it on them. After you're through, they speak it on you. Then you go find someone else. You do it to two people. You speak that blessing on them. You invoke God's blessing. I want you to do it with just as much enthusiasm as you do it for your own life. Amen? I don't want to hear some of this, well, praise God, God bless them. This morning you were saying, God bless me, hallelujah. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Now, I want you to do it with some enthusiasm for the people that you go to. With faith and feeling. Praise God. So let's stand up. You've got your position in numbers. Now you go find two people. First you find one, then the other. And speak that blessing on them. Invoke God's blessing on them. Go to it. This is the key that will unlock the doors to God's resources. Invoking God's blessing will unlock the doors to the provision.